You're listening to Drake in the Morning
with Danny, Wes, and Sid
on 98.1 The Max.
One of the biggest months around here is the Memphis in May month event. The 39th annual, that's hard to believe, the Beale Street Music Festival. This year begins in April, I guess, because of how the days fall. Easter is early, so somebody messed that up for us. But it still is Memphis in May, April 29th, 30th, and May 1st in Tom Lee Park. The president and CEO of this organization is our old friend Jim Holt, who got up early to come up here and talk about the presentation of this year, which is very impressive. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Did you sleep?
Or yeah, no? Absolutely.
You unveiled the poster last night.
We had George Hunt, who unveiled his 24th annual Beale Street Music Festival artwork.
It looks even more abstract than normal this year.
It was fabulous.
It was cool.
He always does a great job.
Very nice. So you spent, you and the guys that you work with that booked this festival begin this in the fall. And I guess this process of booking these festivals gets harder all the time because of all the festivals that there are in this country.
It is. It's very tough. We started on this. I looked last night. Our first offer went out on August 28th last year.
And so you're at the mercy of who's on the road and who wants to come play here and who may be playing in New Orleans and all the routing and all those things that people don't understand how hard it is to put this together for, 3 days. But you have arrived at a very impressive layout here. Last year was one of the biggest years ever, right?
Correct.
And so this year, it's always kind of contingent upon the weather around here. But
blue skies and sunshine.
Yes, it's always 85 and sunny down there for those 3 days. And I've been on that train for about 25 years now. But this one, you want to lay this out, because this is pretty good, and I didn't know that some of these were on here. We begin on Friday. This year's country is Canada in that salute. Are we about out of countries? Are states next?
No. We've got a fabulous list of countries coming up here in the future, and there's still a lot of great nations out there that we haven't saluted. This year, we've got our 40th anniversary. We're celebrating Canada again, which was the second country honored, and it's really a fabulous country. But getting back to the lineup, Neil Young is somebody that we have targeted and really wanted to have play the festival for a great many years, and we thought, we're saluting Canada, this is the year.
And was he difficult to deal with, or is he happy to be here?
No, he's happy to be here.
He had been here in how many years?
I think the last time Neil played Memphis was in 1983. So it's been a long time, and we explained to him that we're saluting his homeland, and he was excited about it, accepted our offer, and so.
And Promise of the Real is his current band.
That's the current band.
He's not Crazy Horse. It is this band that he has put together. So Neil Young is on Friday night, followed by?
Right in front of Neil, we have Grace Potter.
Okay.
We got a real hot stage. We're not announcing the lineup by stages at this point.
Okay.
We've got Neil on Friday. We've also got Weezer, who's an act who hasn't played Memphis in probably 2 decades. Memphis proper, I think he's done some shows in North Mississippi.
Yeah.
We've also got Train.
Train's
pop
a big
music
band.
And we've got some great stuff.
Panic at the Disco, the Gin Blossoms. The Struts are a hot young band.
Very, very hot.
Doyle Bramhall II seems to be kind of a mainstay on this thing because he is very popular in this part of the country. Then you go over to Saturday and the Grammy Award-winning Meghan Trainor.
Yes, you just picked up the Grammy for Best New Artist last week.
And Modest Mouse, who has the respect of many people in this industry as a producer, as an artist, he's on there. Jason?
Derulo.
Okay, and what does he do?
He is like one of the top urban hip-hop artists.
So I'm just not, enough.
You need to broaden your base there, Drake.
All right, man. I'll start reading up on
Wiggle.
This.
Wiggle. That's all you need to know.
That's the song?
That's a big hit,
okay.
Wiggle.
I'll be putting it in my earbud things.
There
later.
You go.
Bare Naked Ladies haven't been here in a while either.
They haven't been here. They're from Canada. They're flying in for the festival.
Yo Gotti. He's
on fire. He's
a local
Kimmel
favorite.
Yeah.
Violent Femmes was booked, I understand, for Danny Brunz's benefit.
One of her all-time faves.
Thank you very much.
I love all their songs, I think.
Yes, you do.
Cypress Hill is a big one. Johnny Lang has, good Lord, he played here when he was 14, didn't he?
He hasn't been, he's played the festival 3 or 4 times, but he hasn't been here in about 10 years, and he's a brilliant blues guitarist.
I remember his very first year here, and Zeke and I talked to him, and I thought, who is this kid? And then he walks on stage and sounds like some 80-year-old guy from the Delta. It's incredible. So he's on there. Lucinda Williams, she's something else. Los Lobos, that's a nice touch. Better Than Ezra, and a number of blues acts. For the fans of the Jay Giles Band, their longtime harp player, Magic Dick, has a new band. Explain this.
Well, Magic Dick, the Shunning is a very, very hot Singaporean blues guitarist. I think he's just graduated from the Berklee Music School up in Boston, and he connected with Magic Dick of the Jay Giles and Jay Giles Blues Band fame.
Yeah.
And they have a little duo presentation. It's fantastic. Pull it up on YouTube.
I mean,
that's something you won't want to miss on Saturday afternoon in the Blues Town.
Very good. Our guest is Jim Holt. We're running down the Memphis and May Beale Street Music Festival. We go over to Sunday when things get, I think maybe this is the best day. I don't know. When it's down to this, I mean, it's really hard to decide which day is the strongest this year. On Sunday, May 1st, you go ahead and tell us the top two biggies here.
Well, Paul Simon's making his debut at the Beale Street Music Festival.
Has he ever played this town ever?
No, he's played Memphis, okay. But he hasn't played Beale Street before.
That's
and it's been
great.
Several years since he's been here.
That's
and
great.
Beck, who I think made his Memphis debut at the Beale Street Music Festival, I believe it was in 1994.
He couldn't be any bigger than he is now.
And there's a lot of excitement about Zedd.
Now, Zedd, I'm not familiar with.
Again, we need to broaden
need to
our
hip
musical.
I need to stop being so in the closet about this stuff. So Zedd is on here.
He's one of the top international DJ producers. Very, 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 very popular with the EDM and pop market.
Okay, so that'll be there's something for everybody on here. The Cold War Kids is a great band that had their first hit and they had a number one song this past couple of months. So they're on fire. A band that Wes and I both like a lot are this artist. Courtney Barnett is extremely good.
She is incredible.
She was up for
Best New Artist at the Grammys,
yeah.
So we actually had two nominees.
And where's she from, New Zealand?
From Australia.
Okay, well, she is just great and very versatile. Blackberry Smoke is like Skynyrd was about 30 years ago.
We're very excited to have them
on. They're excellent. And then we go on down to a bunch of other blues-type artists. Who else is here from Canada? Who's the honoree this year?
Well, we have four Canadian artists on the lineup. Of course, Neil Young, who you mentioned, the Bare Naked Ladies, a very hot a pop artist named Coleman Hill, and John Semple, who is a Juno Award-winning blues guitarist.
Okay.
He's fabulous.
So tickets are on sale, or are they not?
No, tickets have been on sale, actually. Okay. We went up early last month, and we've sold a significant number of tickets at this point. The three-day passes are available for an unbelievable price of $105, and single-day tickets go on sale today for $45.
Well, you get them now, and you save yourself some money, and this is going to be a great event. It will be available on the memphisandmay.org site.
Correct. Well, tickets are available through Ticketfly.
Okay.
We switched to a new ticketing service. It's doing a fabulous job and have a little bit lower consumer prices. You can access that through Ticketfly.com, or you can go to memphisandmay.org for complete details on the lineup.
Very good. Now let's run down the other events during this festival. This is the first weekend. It actually is the end of April into May. Then a week off, and then the International World Famous Barbecue Cooking Championship Contest.
Well, we do the International Week celebration in the week following. Of course, our Salute to Canada is month-long, but we cluster a lot of our event activities during that second week of May.
Okay.
We've got a fabulous array of programming that we're going to be rolling out. One thing in particular you'll want to make note of, we've got a spectacular circus art, kind of like a Cirque du Soleil show at the Orpheum Theater called Traces that is coming in. I believe it's on May the 5th.
Hmm.
So you'll want to check that out. It's an incredible show.
Very good.
Then our barbecue contest is coming up May 12th through 14th. We're very excited about that. The team sign-up was completed yesterday. We've got a record number of barbecue teams again.
Mm.
We've got some exciting music at that. We've got Cracker coming in to play barbecue along with Tone Loc. So we're going to do the wild thing during barbecue, as we always do.
And then
we finish up
the
month with we've got health and fitness conscious. We're doing a Great American River Run half marathon at 5K.
That starts the day of the 901 Fest.
On May the 28th, and then we're debuting the 901 Fest, which is a celebration of all things Memphis.
Very good. This sounds like an excellent year and great lineup, which is available all over the place at memphisandmay.org. It's in the paper, I presume. And we'll link it off of our site, off the Facebook page or something, to give you access to this layout, which I think will be greeted with joy by most people. There's always, I mean, I can't imagine who could complain about this.
We've had a great response so far to people seeing the lineup. And of course, you're down there every year. You and I can go hang with Jason Derulo. Broaden your horizons.
I look forward to hanging with him and Yo Gotti.
There you go.
Because we all speak the same language, really.
There you go.
We're all brothers in the same thing.
I've got to throw out also Bastille and the Joy Formidable, two bands that I like, are also.
What do they do?
Come up.
You're on point there, Wes.
They do what they call alternative rock. Yeah. Bastille has a bunch of songs I like. The Joy Formidable is one of those bands. I couldn't name you any of their songs, but I like their sound. I like having them on.
So you expect, as always, to have tickets sold from every state and about in every country in the freaking world?
We always do. We have patrons from all 50 states, and we typically will have people traveling from 15 to 20 foreign countries. So just last week, we were named by Travel and Leisure as one of the top 27 festivals globally worth traveling for, and there was only 5 domestic festivals listed here in the U.S.
Well, that is high praise. So, you work very hard with your staff. I know that for a fact. I've watched this for many, many years. We appreciate what you do, and I thank you for the time here today. Tickets are available right now. You can buy them at ticketfly.com.
Correct.
And find out more information on this at the MemphisInMay.org's website. But tickets are out there. This should be a great show. 3 days, April 29, 30, and May 1st. And this year, you have no conflict with the Kentucky Derby for the first time in 25 years.
We had to move the date this year. It was going to be a big one.
The power of Memphis in May. Jim Holt, thank you, sir, very much.
Thank you, guys.
And we will be seeing you soon. Tickets on sale now for the Beale Street Music Festival coming up in Tom Lee Park the last weekend of April and the first day of May. We'll be back in a moment. Here's one of the guests on Sunday, Paul Simon, into the break.
You're listening to Drake in the Morning on 98.1 The Max.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Oh, that's stupid.
That's just as stupid as anything I ever heard of.
Well, that was stupid.
Why is everyone so fucking stupid?
It's just stupid, all right?
In the bed they get high feet. Stupid, dumb, and high feet.
You blistering idiot!
I'm so stupid.
Don't you have any brains?
Dumb as a bag of Mississippi mud.
That's the stupidest damn thing I've ever heard of in all my life.
Moron, 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 moron.
Okie dokie. It is Wednesday morning, February 24th. Thanks to our friend Jim Holt for the layout of the very impressive Beale Street Music Festival lineup. It'll all be posted today on their site, on our site, everywhere, on the Max site. It will be on our Facebook page, I'm sure, linked to everybody. But this is pretty strong. Neil Young, Paul Simon, Beck, Modest Mouse. This just goes on and on and on. Johnny Lang, Yo Gotti, Gin Blossoms, Courtney Barnett, Indigo Girls, Blackberry Smoke. Something here for everybody. And so hopefully it'll be a great time down there, as it always is in Tom Lee Park, as we salute Canada this year. And so I guess there are some countries left, he said, after 40 years. I think we should do states. Like do Iowa.
Nah.
Oh, that would be fun.
And then salute them. And then do Georgia. Just to kind of shake it up a little bit. I don't think Jim would buy that idea, though.
We could do Georgia and confuse everyone. Is it the country or is it the state?
dumbasses of this day. Where do you start? Let's see. There's... this one here, I don't know if I have missed this or if it is just making the national news wires. The two folks that won the lottery from Munford, Lisa and John Robinson, who made the rounds of all the TV shows, and they're just good old country folk, and they won them a bunch of money. They're enjoying their newfound wealth, it says here. They both, as I recall, they wanted to keep on working and weren't going to become all high and mighty and all that stuff. Well, some guy in Pennsylvania named Jonathan Lee Riches has filed a lawsuit against them claiming that he is owed half of the money. Mr. Riches, who is also known as Jihadist Shits.
With a Z.
Yeah, with a Z, filed his handwritten lawsuit from prison, which always looks good, claiming that he corresponded with the couple's daughter regularly and that he sent the woman $20 from his prison cell, from his account, so that her parents could buy lottery tickets. What kind of moron thinks anybody is going to buy into this? First of all, your name is not Jonathan Lee Riches. Your name is Jihadist Shits, which is bad enough in itself. And then you write a lawsuit handwritten from prison telling them that you gave them $20 and you're owed half the dough. Good luck with this one.
And they are not enjoying their wealth. They are actually very miserable.
Are they really?
Yes. They've been told that the best thing to do is to go into hiding because the people lined up out of their house and the phone calls, they've already had to change their phone number.
Is anybody surprised? I mean, did this happen to everybody that does this? I mean, if you ever even knew them, you're going to go with your hand out. And they were very innocent about this when it happened. And I saw them on some TV show and thought, man, y'all are in for a real
shock. Should have never done it.
Don't go onto these TV morning shows and don't blast this from the rooftops. You're going to regret it. So have they had to move or anything?
Someone told me, though, that was part of the deal. That apparently is part of the deal. Maybe not that you have to go on TV, but you do have to go in public.
You have to reveal your ID?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why. That seems like you're putting yourself in jeopardy.
I would agree. But everyone does it, so...
I certainly would fight that tooth and nail. Not that I'll ever win anything, but I don't think I want myself out there saying, yep, I got about $800 million. Y'all need some? I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe they do it so the public's convinced that they're not keeping the money. Yeah, we've got winner C right here.
Yeah, I don't know.
In Oxford, Massachusetts, it turns out they have Home Depots up there too, and John Miller was walking back from one to the parking lot, saw this car with the lights flashing, the hazards going, and a goat inside.
Well, how come?
Well, he did what anyone would do and pulled out his phone and started recording it for social media.
That's what everybody
didn't contact anyone about this. It turns out that the goat is owned by one Ashley Robertson, who had just bought it because I guess she lives somewhere in the rural part of Massachusetts, and was taking it home and stopped by the Home Depot to get some stuff. She didn't think the goat would climb into the front seat because of its size, but it did. Turned on the hazard lights, also drank an old cup of soda. I don't know if it ate the can or not, and it defecated on the seat. So she was having a really good day with this goat in her car. She says she's amused and a little embarrassed about the goat's internet fame.
Yeah.
I think about Tommy Boy and the deer that gets in the back seat and just destroys the car.
Goats in cars.
In College Station, Texas, a police officer found a vehicle on the train tracks. And the driver was still inside without any clothes on.
Naked.
The police said the driver attempted to start the car with a pair of scissors.
How'd that go?
Well, it didn't work because you can't run with scissors nor start cars with scissors.
Yeah, good point.
And so he then, when he saw the officer, that's when he picked up the scissors. Didn't work, so he ran away. And an ambulance arrived, and he kept running. And the police chased him, wrestled him to the ground, got him into custody. Remember, the guy's naked the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, God.
He tried to assault the arresting officer before he was put into handcuffs. He was taken to county jail with or without clothes. It does not tell me here. And they found a half-empty bottle of Everclear.
Well, he's drinking that stuff? Ugh. Nice. That's like doing acid, man. He's just crazy. Gotta have one from Florida. This lady, not really a lady, Davina Renee Cutchall, apparently was not having a very good meal at the Ocean Buffet in Gainesville, Florida. One would reach that conclusion, it says here, based upon her stream of profanity that she kept cussing and hollering, sitting there with her young son. So somebody in the restaurant asked her to stop talking like that in front of their patrons. And especially her son. Her reaction was not to say, I'm sorry. Her reaction was to threaten to stab the woman who was talking to her with a fork. So
okay.
That was her move. A man intervened in their argument. She poured soda on his face. Then the woman who had begun the conversation about watching her mouth threw a plastic thing of ketchup on Davina before she bailed and left the restaurant. Police found her says that she was ketchup stained, and they found her at a bus stop where she was arrested for assault and for having a filthy mouth. And
did she used to work here?
I don't know. She might have, or maybe she still could. After we're blown out, they'll just bring her in here. And this guy, They always tell you every year, you know, if you're paying the IRS, don't write ugly things on the check and don't send in a bag of pennies and just don't be a tool because you're asking for trouble. They don't find it amusing. New Yorker Enrique Santiago, I guess he ain't from around here, he's facing federal charges for telling the IRS to go blank itself. Last May, he got a notice from the IRS that that came to his place in his name. It was sent to his nephew, who has the same name as he does. The IRS was telling him that this guy owed them $3,000 in unpaid taxes. The nephew had moved out a month earlier after he had a fight with Uncle Enrique. So Enrique, in lieu of doing something professional and saying that this isn't me, I'm sorry, he wrote back with a message that said, I do not live at this address anymore, so go F yourself. He also stuffed the envelope with a harmless white powder. But of course, the insinuation was that it was either some good blow for the agents or it was poison, anthrax. So the police came to his house and he was charged with threatening communication, false information, and hoax, and being a tool. So there are some, that's enough. I don't want to encourage people to do stupid things. Today in the news world, I don't know. I want to acknowledge this was brought to our attention yesterday, and I did not ever know this man, but he was on the radio here for I don't know how many years. I haven't pulled up the story. But Bashful Bob, the country radio legend, passed away of cancer at 81 years old, and we heard about his illness this week, so our thoughts to his family. He was liked by many people around here for his very laid-back approach to radio that doesn't exist anymore. He would just say, here's Merle Haggard. And there were no call letters. There were no nothing. He just did it the way he wanted to. And he was envied by many of us in this business. So our thoughts to him, bless his heart. And he was 81. That's a pretty nice run. So.
And the family requested any memorials be sent to WEVO.
Weevil is a really cool, station. And there needs to be more like that, but that's unlikely. But anyway, Bashful Bob was a kind of an underground legend around here. So a tip of the hat to him for having fun with radio and not being sucked into the abyss like many people are.
That's a point to everyone in this room.
There was...
On 98.1 The Max.
There was some politics stuff last night. You may or may not have watched it. I would suspect not. The town hall meeting was interestingly presented last night. Each candidate, Bernie and Hill, each got their own hour and not a competitive debate argument thing. Sensible questions from the audience, which was there were young folk, older folk, black people, white people, smart questions, and they were handled very well. Mr. Sanders has his line, and he continues to pound it, and he is right about many things. But does he have the power to change them? That is the underlying question. But I guess the question also is, does anybody have the power to change them? The corruptness, the corrupt nature of politics and Wall Street and corporate America and all these things that everybody is aware of, but nobody has any intention of or the knowledge of how to fix it. But he was on that pretty hard. Then Hillary came out, and like her or not, and some do and some don't, she is a very polished candidate. Because she's been in the middle of this for a long, long time. And she knows how to deflect and spin and or answer candidly anything that's tossed her way, which will serve her well going forward on Super Tuesday especially. And then there was the caucuses. They were in Nevada, and that was fun to watch, as Trump beat everybody by double digits. And for a while it was thought that Mr. Cruz might have had a chance there, but this didn't come out till 11 o'clock our time, and I'm watching this going, I got to go to bed. But I had to see what happened, and they hadn't even announced or gotten 5% of the tally, and they declared him the winner. These caucuses, It's the same concept, but they're done on paper ballots. There's no voting machine and things like that. But there are accusations now that the thing was jacked up. There was double voting, and chaos is the word used in this caucus. It is also highly inappropriate for the volunteers who are at the tables taking the things to be wearing Trump T-shirts. That is bad form.
That's supposed to be upright against the rules.
And the camera kept showing this dude sitting there wearing his Trump T-shirt that was too small for him. And he's sitting his fat ass there with his Trump shirt on and proud of it. And these people waited in some cases 2 hours in their cars and then got in line and cast their vote. There's a great passion for this man. And Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio were trying to see who could be the best one that lost. And they're running their mouths and having their little post-game meetings and press conferences and just being goofy in defeat. There's no way to spin it when you get beat by double digits. They got their ass kicked.
Right.
And so there's nowhere to go with that. And now we've got next Tuesday is Super Tuesday. Right. And I wonder if Ben Carson will bail this week. He barely even showed up. John Kasich gets a little bit, but I don't know why he bothers to continue this pace and this travel and to spend money and so on and so on. So
I suppose the two of them are going to hang on at least through Tuesday.
Yeah,
to see,
maybe so.
Because there's a lot that can change at that point.
A lot of things can change in this process. But by all accounts of everything you listen to and read, Trump has such a hold on this that it's going to be really hard to unseat him from this position. It is powerful. And I don't know what it is. There is a fascination about this. It's frightening in some ways, but we live in a culture that is based upon entertainment and television shows like he was the star of, The Apprentice and all that stuff.
Right. He is an ideal candidate for a reality show obsessed nation.
That's exactly right. And that is why he is in such a commanding position right now. Plus the fact that he isn't a politician, not like the other ones are. But when it gets down to brass tacks here and to policy definition and things like that, that's where things may get interesting for him. I thought that this was a bit odd. Our audio service here this morning, Trump was on with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski on Morning Joe on MSNBC. I think it was yesterday. And somebody was rolling tape during the break before he came on. And you hear this chatter in the background. And then Mika was talking to him. It says here, it appears that she was talking to him directly. And Trump was interjecting. And you hear him at the end tell her not to ask him anything too hard. Doesn't that seem to be kind of weird? Here's the audio.
Okay. Do you don't want me to do the ones with deportation?
We really have to get to some questions.
That's right. Nothing too hard, Mika.
Okay.
Nothing too hard, Mika. And she says, okay.
I don't think that's unusual, to be honest with you.
I'm with Danny.
I just don't. I think that.
Why are we still playing softball with this guy?
I think softball with everybody. And I also think if the last thing I want anybody to think is that I would ever compare Trump to Obama, because I'm not. I'm comparing the United States citizens. 8 years ago was a circus, too. 8 years ago was all about change.
Yep.
And that's what everybody wanted.
Yep.
Now, we did get health care. Health care, but everything else didn't change because Obama didn't have the power to change everything he wanted to change.
Well,
because he's a bad president, because the president has no power.
Yeah.
Because he was resisted at every turn, and that was also part of the issue. And it may be the issue for whoever gets this dumb job next.
But I think Americans have been mad for a long time.
Yep.
I think they were mad and they wanted change with Obama.
Yep.
So
and they got some, but not really enough to appease anybody. And there are enough people that hated his guts that there is, in fact, a movie about how much people hated his guts. And how he was stopped at every turn from accomplishing many things. which is why he invoked executive power, which the next president can wipe off the chalkboard the first day he's in office.
Yep.
Right.
It can all go away. George Bush did it more than even Obama did, and half of that was erased from the record books.
And I think that could happen with Trump. I mean,
it's a never-ending circle game, and that's why I ask, you know, what do people think Trump is going to accomplish that nobody else can accomplish? He's not. He's just talking a good game now. But as said before on this program, from day one, he's going to learn how this works.
Mm-hmm.
And all of his big talking and bravado and bullying and being a badass ain't going to play up there.
No,
or anywhere else.
And that's what I just don't understand, where people aren't looking. I don't know how to change it. I don't know that you can change it.
I think it's not changeable. And that sounds very pessimistic, but then again, maybe it's being realistic.
And with the power of Congress, so many people don't want to vote.
No,
you know, and that's sad.
And they've already, you know, and they're this game playing now with the appointing of a new Supreme Court justice is absolutely absurd. But Mitch McConnell and those fellows have already said that they're not going to do it, and so now here goes this fight. Well, this is not going to work out for them, most likely. But there's Donald's wife. Well, she'll be on TV. Good. They finally got her out of her little cave. So it is fun to watch. Fun, maybe not the right word. Super fun, I think is more appropriate.
Great. But
it is just funny though to watch it's people just a trip line
to
up.
Watch it, yeah.
And it's more the people than the candidates, because the people have just buy into this.
That's the part that's the most scary. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. Is that people have jumped on board this train
and think that just this is going to happen.
Just because he ain't the usual politician type, and he's funny and he's confident and he's going to punch somebody in the face yesterday. And people just roared and cheered and yee-haw. Yeah, let's see how that works when you're speaking at the UN or going over to Syria to fix all that with one fell swoop because you're the Trump man.
I would love, though, I will tell you, I would love to see Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump
in the same room.
Yeah. In the same room, going after the same thing.
To see, and they'll pull out a ruler to see who has the biggest Peter. That's the whole thing, who has the biggest ding-dong. And so far, he does. Or does Hillary? That's the question.
I'm scared of myself because I kind of want to go to Millington Saturday. And probably the only reason I'm not is because I'm taking my kid to a birthday party. Just for the spectacle.
But that's what I have the same feeling. I know a couple of people up at the office were saying that yesterday. They want to go see what this is going to be like. But I'm afraid everybody wants to go see what it's going to be like. And it's just going to be a big traffic jam.
It's going to be a cluster on that highway out there for miles. Miles.
And everyone going to see the spectacle becomes part of the spectacle.
Exactly.
And and to the cameras who are filming this, part of the crowd supporting them.
Helicopters from CNN, from Fox, they'll all be here. They were there in Nevada last night because this thing was its own event. The traffic lines, it was the same way in, where was the one, in New Hampshire. They had traffic jams and lines for hours. It'll be the same thing wherever he goes. He's a television star.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and you want to see him. So, I don't know, man. Dixie Pickers and them, great folks. Dawn and Damon are friends who are on this program and have been for a long time. Two excellent stores full of everything for the gentleman in your life and for anybody in your life. They have great sales happening now with clothing lines of all kinds. The Madison Creek stuff is marked down tremendously, as is the Drake Shadow Branch Camo. They got new Maui Jim sunglasses in for the spring and summer. Half off all the Martin Dingman clothing and shoes. Rivers West, the same discounts. And money's off Mountain Khaki tops as well. And now through the end of the month, which is almost here, the coat drive sale continues. Drop by a gently used warm coat or jacket and get a discount on a new coat for yourself at either location of Dixie Pickers. DixiePickersStore.com is their website. Go visit with them, and they have a lot of great stuff in there that you will appreciate at either store, Poplar and Yates, or the Town Square in Collierville. Here is one of the bands that Mr. Holt turned us on to. This is really interesting. And these fellows, when are they on? They're playing on Sunday. Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats. This is going to be fun. Here is their tune. I mean, super fun and amazing. Into the break. We'll be right back.
Everything Memphis has to offer. The good, the bad, and the stupid. We cover it all at drakeinthemorning.com and live on 98.1 The Max.